As we continue in worship, we are continuing in just a three-week series as we're going through and receiving and having opportunity to put forth our pledge for the upcoming year, 2024. And so we're continuing on here. We're in Matthew 22, reading verses 15 through 22. It says, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?' But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, 'Whose head is this, and whose title?' They answered, 'The emperor's.' Then he said to them, 'Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's.' When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed love you, and thank you for your word for us for today. We thank you for the reminder that we are yours. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, Pastor David mentioned, as he preached from Ephesians 4, that we are all needed in the body of Christ, that we all have different gifts to share. That God has marked every human with a role, an image, an identity that comes with challenge and joy and fulfillment. You know, I think there's never a better feeling for someone than when they were able to live into their God-given gift and talent for the kingdom of God. I think people can do things for some periods of time. Sometimes people do it for years and years, maybe even a career. But I think when someone lives into their God purpose is when one finds ultimate fulfillment and joy in life. Like, I'm so glad I didn't go all the way through optometry school and open up a practice and then like, oh, I'm supposed to be a pastor? I think it's God's greatest desire for us that we would get to be able to live out our God-given purpose and talent sooner than later. You know, I don't think anyone in here is favorite thing to do is to submit or turn in taxes or do their taxes. Not only income tax, but property taxes we have to send in as well, and they keep going up, and it's not one of our favorite activities, paying taxes. And if we don't like paying taxes, meet the residents of Jerusalem during Jesus' time. Israel is an occupied territory, a Roman province. The Romans let the Jews have their temple worship, but they are taxed unfairly to support the Roman capital. They enjoy very few rights because they are not truly Roman citizens. In the scripture for this morning, we have the Pharisees on one side of the aisle, determined to overthrow the pagan government, to kick them out of Jerusalem. And on the other side of the aisle, we have the debate of the Herodians, allied with Herod Antipas, who had been named king of the Jews by Rome. And the Herodians supported paying the tax to Caesar. As you might imagine, the Pharisees and the Herodians didn't get along very well. However, they did agree on one thing. They were both jealous that Jesus was gaining a following, and they were eager to destroy him. They knew that Jesus taught in a way that was in direct conflict with Caesar on many points. And as Caesar stood for the sword, control, conquer, Jesus taught nonviolence, turn the other cheek, equality among the sexes. Caesar stood for power over others and acquisition of wealth and dominance over others and manipulation. And Jesus taught in a way of justice and cooperation and partnership. They knew that Jesus was significantly apart from Caesar in his teachings, as he taught to love your enemy, suffer on behalf of others, respect all people. There was no doubt in their mind where Jesus stood with regard to Caesar and his politics, his economics, and his madness. So the Pharisees and the Herodians both agreed that Jesus would need to go, so they sought to actually entrap Jesus by making him choose between respecting the emperor or worshiping God. And in order to get Jesus caught up here, they were going to use Jesus' own words to trip him up. So in their crafty manner, they put Jesus to the test, and they said, let's test Jesus to see what he will say. Let's bring out the implications of his teachings. What better way to get someone than to make them eat their own words or use their own words against them? And so they asked Jesus, is it right to pay taxes? And Jesus responds, why are you trying to trick me? Why are you trying to trap me? Why are you trying to make me stumble? Show me a coin. So the Herodians and the Pharisees dig in their pockets and produce a coin for Jesus, and Jesus looks at it as if he's never seen it before, and he says, who is on this coin? Caesar's, they replied. Well, then, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and pay to God or give to God what is God's. Pay back to Caesar what belongs to him and pay back to God what belongs to God. You see, Jesus distinguishes between the obligation to God and the obligation to Caesar. To faithful Jews, such a distinction was obvious, but not to supporters of Roman power. And so the follow-up question might be, then where does one find the image and the title of God? We know where the image and the title and what the title is for Caesar, but how do we know that of God? As Roman subjects, the people pay taxes to the emperor. As citizens, we pay taxes for roads and education. As church members, we contribute towards utility bills and staff salaries and upkeep of our campus, and we're working on our budget here soon. But as we do all of these things, and as you give to those things, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, how in the world is this the image and the title of God? You see, our lives are made to honor God through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And we do these stewardship campaigns, and I know that no one likes them. They're like going to the dentist, but hopefully stewardship campaigns are a reminder for us that as we have all of these other demands upon our life, for our time and our talent and our resources that we have received, we remember who we are and whose we are and whose imprint is on our life as we live our life. In the first creation story, we read that, then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. Jesus moves the conversation with the Pharisees and the Herodians to out of money to a reflection of how we are participants in the household of God. that as we live our life as an imprint of God, that God's imprint, that God's likeness, that God's image is upon us, that we would ask questions as we live our life, like, does this please God? Does this enable me to faithfully follow God? Does this serve as a response to justice for all of God's creation? Caesar's stamp can be on whatever coin. His picture can be on whatever it may be. And Caesar may feel like, wow, look at all these people honoring me. But you see, what Jesus wants and what Jesus is talking about is so much more than just a coin. Give to God what has God's image on it. That's us. That's every one of us who was created in the image and the likeness of our Creator. And that's what God desires from us. He wants you and I to live as He created us to be. And this is bigger than any tax or any picture on a coin. You see, we are meant to be imprints of God, as God has His imprint on us. Sometimes, I think there was even one last week when we went for a hike that I talked about last week, that you would be walking and on poles and on trees, you see people write like Johnny was here or Patricia was here or I love you. And you see these things all over the place where people write that they were here or whatever. I think as people of God, we should leave an imprint or a stamp of Christ's love wherever we are. And when we leave that place, we don't have to have it written down on a pole, but people will know that someone was here as an imprint of Christ. Someone was here living out the call of Jesus. Someone was here as a picture of who God wants us to be. God is a generous God who provides all our needs that it might create in us a sense of gratitude and remembering who all of our stuff and our body and our mind and our soul really belongs to. And then we find a way to say, thank you, Lord. And we give it back to God. We offer it to God so that He can do more than we could ever dream or imagine on our own. Friends, you are an imprint of God's image and likeness for the world. That's our first thing. That's our first call. And bearing that image is a humbling and sometimes overwhelming responsibility that God entrusts with us. Sometimes it would be so much easier just to ignore that calling and care strictly for ourselves, and thinking that we did it all and we owe it all to ourselves. But you see, God desires so much more than that. God wants us to know and experience life that is truly life. And it starts by living out our call as an imprint of Him in the world. And through that, we're able to live in amazing ways that bear unconditional love that God desires for every person. Friends, you are an imprint of all that God desires. May we live as people of hope and generosity and peace and love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your call upon our life to live as, an imprint of your goodness. So that as we go about and move and live and be, that people would see you, the one who created us. And that's what you desire more than Caesar getting some taxes or anyone else getting taxes. You desire us to live as your people. You desire our hearts. And so may we give those hearts to you. We love you and we thank you, O Lord. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.